a peanut butter sandwich? Really? A peanut butter sandwich?
It's showtime.
Go. Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation cussing and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. Here we go, off and running for this Moran Monday, and we got them. The 11th day of October, 2021. This is The Horn. HeadOn.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tube. It's also where you go if you'd like to be part of the Merry Wacky Zany real-time multimedia extravaganza that takes place during the 3 hours in which this program is live, Monday through Friday, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. All time zones in between and the great globe around. I'm talking about the, yes, indeed, the Horn chat room. Pop on by, and you may very well have a wonderful, wonderful time. So far, it's just me and early arrivers Anatole and Squeaky, and hopefully more to come. They will be happy to see you if you pop by. I probably won't say anything to you because I bebop around all over a bunch of different tabs while I've got the program going, but we'll be waiting for either a longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky or pinch hit midweek chat room utility moderator and all around great guy, Brother Bishop Steve from Georgistan, to pop in and ride herd on the. It's not like there's a lot of misbehavior, but you know, somebody's got to be there with the lightsaber in case some moran wanders along because they don't get to play. Morans are not welcome on this program. Right-wingers, maggots, birthers, deathers, baggers, birchers, booger eaters, none of them. They're not welcome here. Hey, but every program here at the Horn begins with gratitude, and this program is no different, so consequently we offer up thanks to our 11th, 10th, and 9th day of the month subscribers. So that means thanks go out to Paul from Parts Unknown, and to Tony and Chico, thank you so much. Tony's one of our longest-standing subscribers. Thank you to Christopher in Oregon. Thank you, John. Thank you so very kindly, again, for the challenge to Rico. Thank you, Judy. Thank you, Daniel. Thank you to David in San Diego. Thanks so much to James. Thank you very kindly to Mary Bell. Thank you, Khalil. And thank you to Ralphs. Thank you all so much for being partial sponsors of the program. And that leaves us here on this Moran Monday as we approach the midpoint. Well, I mean, come on, we're 5 days from the midpoint, but we approach the midpoint of the month of October. And the fundraising goal, because we didn't quite make it all the way to a Friday on the Front Porch Community Made Miracle, so we're at $950 to go. We've got, we'll just call it $900. Thursday, Friday, and today. And that would bring us even and continue the almost constant bill-paying frenzy that takes place here. So if you'd like to help out, of course, the interface, PayPal interface, is at headon.live, and thank you so kindly if you do choose to do that, and thanks to all of our subscribers, sincerely, most sincerely. It really is Moran Monday, and we got Morans o' plenty. And we'll probably, this is worth it. Yeah, it's worth it. So let's do this right.
You've got to remember that these are just simple farmers. These are people of the land. You know, morons.
Hurry, step right up. It's Moran Monday on the horn. You will not believe your ears. Here, just a few meager steps off the Carnival Midway, where just moments ago you were trying desperately to throw a ping pong ball into a goldfish bowl in the desperate hope of taking home a not-so-precious baby iguana. Well, right here, it's the Moran Monday tent, this thin cybernetic veil of canvas behind which lurk all manner of morans, right-wing morans, birthers, deathers, ninthers, tenthers, birchers, baggers, booger-eaters, trumpers, trumpanzees, maggots, libertarians, republicans, all right here, and a few people who may not be or what have you, right here in the Moran Monday tent. That's right, for nothing more than less than half the cost of a stick of chewing gum per hour of programming, all of this and more awaits you. Yes, indeed. You'll find them all. And the fact of the matter is, that's how we keep the Moran Monday tent moving from city to city and town to town, along with the rest of the circus, with our $10 a month subscribers and folks who kick in a la carte. We'll pass the hat at the end as you're leaving the Moran Monday tent. Feel free to toss in something, as long as it's not a wooden nickel or a slug or, you know, the MAGA 2024 pin or something like that. It might jab you with it if you do that. Yes, indeed. So, by all means, as you enter the Moran Monday tent, do please be mindful and keep a hand or an eye or something on, you know, wallets, purses, wristlets, over the shoulder bags, handbags, backpacks, European-style messenger bags, children, small pets, even that iguana, because the morans can get grabby. Yes. Head for the hills, or you'll be up to your armpits in Martians. Morans. Sorry. Moran Martians. That's probably because one of the first Moran stories. See, I'm still. Yeah. One of the first Moran stories I ran across, and it was just a headline. I didn't spend much time with it. Well, it said that life on Mars simulating Red Planet base in Israeli desert. I mean, we don't have an airless, vast, waterless wasteland, but are they thinking? I don't know. Is this somewhere near the Dead Sea or something? But you know what a desert in Israel has that Mars doesn't? Air. Never mind. Just the same, it is Moran Monday, and you know, head for the hills. You'll be up to your armpits in morans. Perhaps even yours truly will be there. Who knows? Right. As I said, you just run across things in the process of pulling things together. And so over the course of the weekend, there was a news release from the federal government, federal law enforcement, that basically boils down to this. A nuclear engineer for the United States Navy and his wife have been taken into custody, busted, taken down, right, because they were trying to sell secret nuclear, allegedly, trying to sell secret nuclear information to an as-yet undisclosed foreign power. We do not know who the foreign power was, although you can fairly easily guess it was either China or Mother Russia. I mean, I guess maybe the North Koreans might have. But yeah. Jonathan Tebbe, T-O-E-B-B-E, who lived in suburban Maryland with his spouse, had a Pentagon-issued national security clearance, and by virtue of his position, was able to access restricted information about nuclear technology that's used to propel our fast attack ships. And somewhere around April 1st of 2020, tried to send a package to the aforementioned foreign government, and then started to engage in correspondence. And again, nuclear engineer. This guy sounds like somebody that would respond to the Nigerian Nigerian princess scam. God, what a moron. Jonathan Tebbe and his wife Diana left Maryland, went to West Virginia, the agent on the other end of this must have been having a real giggle. Now listen, here's what you'll do. I mean, this sounds like something out of The In-Laws. You all know how much I love that movie. Listen, a man calling himself D. Tracy, wearing galoshes, will come here for the thing. We know we're talking about the plates, but we'll call it the thing. Remember, D. Tracy, galoshes. I mean, how could I not notice a story that involves trying to hide a thumb drive in a peanut butter sandwich? No, it's not a peanut butter sandwich. It's half a peanut butter sandwich. Really. CBS News, directly from the report, Tebbe and his wife Diana then allegedly went to West Virginia, where the Navy engineer placed a memory card. Okay, not a thumb drive, but still. Okay, computer geniuses out there. How do you go about, is it difficult to clean peanut butter off of a memory card? I mean, does it not gum up the works? Would a naval nuclear engineer have, oh, never mind. I know this is a deadly serious story, but see, the morons may be us because we can't be sure. This is, after all, the FBI, and not exactly a real good batting average lately. Tebbe and his wife, Diana, then allegedly went to West Virginia, because of course they did. I mean, we're world famous, West Virginia is, for our hot dogs and our peanut butter sandwiches, where the Navy engineer placed a memory card inside half a peanut butter sandwich with his wife on the lookout. The card contained restricted data about submarine nuclear reactors. Apparently, the nuclear engineer at some point began to think, you know, this really just doesn't seem right. You know, always go with your first impression, nuclear engineers out there. Nonetheless, he kept on doing what are called, they're called dead drops. So you just leave it inside a half a peanut butter sandwich sitting on a plate in a diner, and somebody else comes into the diner and goes, look, a half a peanut butter sandwich. I mean, what, was he dressed up like, oh. At one point he said, I'm sorry to be so stubborn and untrusting, but I cannot agree to go to a location of your choosing. I must consider the possibility that I am communicating with an adversary who has intercepted my first message and is attempting to expose me. They did go so far as to say that it had something to do with restricted data about submarine nuclear reactors. You know, that might... It makes sense that that might... Well, okay, it could be the Russians, because they have so many moving underwater ceremonies in which they commission their latest nuclear submarine, because, you know, they push it out of the slip and it goes boop. And or it could be the Chinese, because we've entered into that deal with the Australians, and the Chinese might want to know. But maybe it was the French. Merrick Garland announced it. His record so far is kind of checkered.
The work of the FBI, Department of Justice prosecutors, the Naval Criminal Investigative Service, and the Department of Energy was critical in thwarting the plot charged in the complaint and taking this first step in bringing the perpetrators to justice.
The thing is this the Miami 7 and the Sears Tower, where the only person on the other end was always the federal government? Look, espionage is very real. But something about this just ain't right. So there's that. And then, terribly important things, but my God, one of the most important things in this country is to remember just how stupid, how monumentally, breathtakingly stupid the maggots are. Because we forget that at our peril. Oh, by the way, in the submarine story, Brother Deacon Asa now tells me, Fox TV Radio Rwanda is now claiming the guy's wife is a Black Lives Matter sympathizer. Of course she is. Yeah, right. Goddamn liberals! And I'm sure Nitwit Nero will be braying about it any minute now. And yes, Brother Deacon Asa, who would know such things, says memory cards are washable so long as you thoroughly dry them before use. And I don't know if you just put it in the dryer on tumble or... Never mind. Not Tumblr. Damn it. Quit it. Nuclear engineer on the roof, Lee in New York, says, on his way to seal the deal, did Tevye sing, "If I Were a Rich Man"? Oh, wait, are you suggesting it was the Israelis? Now quit that. That's not nice. Ron in Raleigh writes, Moran nominee, I've been listening to the devil's advocates. One of the advocates attended the Trump rally in Iowa. He said there was a large crowd, estimated to be 40,000 strong. You know, we call those super spreader events because there wasn't a mask to be. Never mind. He said the crowd was enthusiastic and vitriolic. The chant was, "Fuck Joe Biden! Fuck Joe Biden!" Joe Biden was being blamed for high gas prices and the so-called border crisis. These ignorant white people don't seem to understand that Hurricane Ida had something to do with supply disruption or the ransomware attack on the Colonial Pipeline. How do these people listen to the dumbest man to ever be president and think he was the greatest president ever? These people actually think Donald Trump won the 2020 election. This country gets dumber by the day. And speaking of the 2020 election, this, out of the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, a report today that the Georgia, I presume the Georgia Bureau of Investigation, says that... some Fulton County election workers shredded voter registration applications. Now, this isn't in regard to the 2020 election, let's be clear. No. This is less than 24 hours before early voting begins for municipal races in Fulton County, Georgia, tomorrow. Two employees have been sacked in the last 2 weeks over allegations that they shredded applications. I wonder why someone would do that in, I don't know, Fulton County, Georgia. The Fulton Commission Chairman, Rob Pitts, reported to Fulton County District Attorney Fannie Willis for investigation. In doing so, Pitts said, "Elections are the most important function of our government. We are committed to transparency and integrity." There's been a campaign by the maggots against Richard Barron, the head of elections there. Republicans have been trying to fire Richard Barron. And while we've been watching everything else take place, because of the Georgia voter suppression law that has gone into effect, the Republican Party, which is to say the legislature of the state of Georgia, has started an audit of Fulton County's voting processes with an eye toward the state and the GOP just simply taking over running elections in Fulton County. And Fulton County, of course, for those who don't know, is where Atlanta is. Now, meanwhile, the Republican Secretary of State, Brad Raffensperger, who, whatever else you want to say about him, refuses to knuckle under to nitwit Nero, his office learned about the shredding, or the alleged shredding, when we notified them and requested that they investigate the actions of these two employees. What makes me think there's a maggot in the woodpile, as it were, here, right? As to the spy, half a peanut butter sandwich. It's the half part that really gets me. Half. Subject line, spy. Jeremy in Vermont says, I'd say there's a fair to good chance, since there's no mention nation, that this moron was dealing with our own people the whole time. You know, FBI and three-letter named groups. But that this is a non-story because it never really posed any danger other than this idiot thought he was dealing with another nation. I'm guessing that's the thing, though. This is what I don't get. When you're a Navy nuclear engineer and you're operating at that security clearance, and I don't think he and Mrs. Nuclear Engineer were living on beans. Yeah, well, yeah, we'll see what happens. I would not be surprised to find out that there was never a third party. That it was just. Oh well. Regarding Ron and Raleigh's comments on the maggots and screeching about high gas prices, Brother Deacon Asa says, see, this is where our side fails in the messaging department every single time. The answer to the maggots whining about high gas prices is simply this. Why do you have a problem with high gas prices? It means oil companies are making more money. It's good for capitalism. Why do you hate capitalism? He makes a compelling argument. And by the way, to all of our friends in Canoodlia, I hope y'all had a lovely, lovely, lovely Thanksgiving Day yesterday. It turns out Brother Deacon Asa just happened to have a spare turkey, which is presently happily bathing in brine and waiting for wonderful things to happen to it, and it will be juicy and delicious, I have no doubt whatsoever. And by the way, I had a note from Shorty in L.A. Fuck dumb ass, a.k.a. Columbus, long live the Omaha Nation. The perfect song for Plymouth Rock. They landed at Plymouth with a smile on their face. They said, we're your brothers from a faraway place. The Indians greeted them with wide open arms, too simple-minded and trusting to see through the charms. Ex-hoodlums and jailbirds with background of crime. They had a chance to breathe freely for the very first time, to drink cool, clear water from clean mountain streams. When taken for granted, it's not what it seems. And on like that, and I mention that because today is Columbus Day. Please, you know, maybe we could get rid of Columbus Day, except it would make a certain group of people terribly, terribly upset because for some reason or another he's a cultural hero to them. Go figure. But it's also Indigenous People's Day. And I would be just as happy if it could stay Indigenous People Day and we dump the Columbus all together. In years past on this program, we pointed out some quotes from the writings of Christopher Columbus, talking about how naive and simple and kind and friendly and good and generous and decent the locals were when he showed up in this hemisphere, and how that made them particularly suitable to being enslaved. Lovely, lovely, lovely white people. So necessarily, today on Fox News TV Radio Rwanda, they expended a great deal of time celebrating the life and legacy of Christopher Columbus. Yeah. By the way, yes, rapes, genocide, murder, those are that is the legacy of Christopher Columbus. Top five atrocities from the Rapid City Journal. The top five atrocities committed by Christopher Columbus. From rape to pillage to flat-out murder, Columbus and his men were the first Europeans to commit horrendous atrocities against America's indigenous people. I mean, in other words, it was part of the plan. They were going to make a show of force from jump. Okay. And a great place to go if you ever want to just sort of get a good thumbnail of just how rotten and awful and nasty and vile and filthy and disgusting and criminal Christopher Columbus was, Howard Zinn's A People's History of the United States. If you've got any interest in history whatsoever, you want that book on your shelf. Professor Zinn has long since gone to his long home, but he remains a vital resource on the untold history of the of this hemisphere, and the United States in particular. Columbus ran into some of the first people Columbus ran into were the Arawak people, and they were native to the islands that we now call the Bahamas. And he wrote, "They brought us parrots and balls of cotton and spears and many other things. They willingly traded everything they owned. They were well built with good bodies and handsome features." Yeah, they were taller than the scrawny, scurvy, rickets-ridden, dirty, disease-bearing Europeans by a long shot. "They do not bear arms and do not know them, for I showed them a sword. They took it by the edge and cut themselves out of ignorance. They have no iron. Their spears are made of cane." And then this: "They would make fine servants. With 50 men, we could subjugate them all and make them do whatever we want. As soon as I arrived in the Indies, on the first island which I found, I took some of the natives by force in order that they might learn and might give me information of whatever there is in these parts." Yeah. That evil, 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 evil man. Of course, back then, you took things by right of conquest. And whether it was a fair fight was not exactly in the calculation. And so He helped to create a nightmare. And in short order, enslavement would be the order of the day on the island of Hispaniola, in Cuba. The Rapid City Journal writing, "If captivity and death weren't enough, Columbus and his men had a particular reputation for cruelty. Bartolome de las Casas, a young priest who participated in the conquest of Cuba and wrote a history of the Indies, describes the treatment of the natives. Endless testimonies prove the mild and pacific temperament of the natives. But our work was to exasperate, ravage, kill, mangle, and destroy. Small wonder, then, if they tried to kill one of us now and then. The admiral, it is true, was blind as those who came after him, and he was so anxious to please the king that he committed irreparable crimes against the Indians." And, by the way, Bartolome de las Casas becomes one of the first, well, he becomes the first practitioner of the science we now know as ethnography. And the Spaniards even rode the backs They rode the indigenous people. They thought nothing of knifing Indians by tens and twenties and of cutting slices off them to test the sharpness of their blades. By the time Cortes and his crew of belligerents and criminals and cut purses and rapists would land in Mexico, they would cut out the vaginas of indigenous women and stretch them across the pommels of their saddles to let them dry there. Really. So naturally, over on Fox News TV Radio Rwanda, they had a celebration of Columbus. Rachel Campos Duffy got her cancel culture outrage on. Get the hockey puck.
Well, thanks to cancel culture, Columbus Day is looking a little different this year as cities choose to celebrate Indigenous Peoples Day instead. Christopher Columbus statues have been ripped down and in some cities like Philadelphia boxed up for the holiday after a city representative claimed that uncovering the statue would pose a public safety risk. Here to react, comedian Joe Piscopo, a proud Italian-American. Tell me why we should...
What? Joe Piscopo? Joe Piscopo, wow. He'll be playing the lounge at the Denny's in Busted Knuckle, Oklahoma, tomorrow night. And entered as a proud Italian. You know, there's lots of Italians out there to revere besides a murderer, genocidalist, and a rapist. But you do you, Joe Piscopo.
Not let the left cancel Christopher Columbus.
Hi, Rachel. Good morning.
Good
because
morning.
Of my grandparents who came here from outside of Naples, who came here from Salerno, they got on a freighter on in steerage, and they came across from the Gulf of Naples to Ellis Island, and they were treated with the utmost disrespect, and they fought so hard. They wanted, Rachel, just to come here to be American.
And you know what? When Joe Piscopo's grandparents came here, you know what? They weren't white. Remember, whiteness is a continuum. Whiteness is ever-changing. So a couple of generations later, Joe Piscopo, who literally still has the circles on his eyes from where he had the goggles on while he was in the tanning bed. I mean, really, Fox, can you not... Somebody in the makeup department had to have a little concealer. Please, don't put him on camera. Well, okay, do put him on camera like that. He's a dick. Okay, you said what, Professor?
You dick!
Precisely.
That's all they wanted. They told me, as the grandchild of these immigrants, how great this country is. And therein lies my patriotism for this great country. My grandparents, who came from another country, said America's the greatest country in the world. Why are they trying to take this away?
Nobody. What? Did anybody follow that? I mean, this is the guy who once did the duet on Saturday Night Live of Frank Sinatra allegedly singing with Stevie Wonder a takeoff on Ebony and Ivory, in which he, as Frank Sinatra, sang to Stevie, "You are black and I am white, you're blind as a bat and I have sight." Don't quit your day job, Joe.
You diminish the fight and the journey of my grandparents by trying to cancel out Columbus Day.
No, nobody's saying anything about your fucking grandparents, Joe Piscopo. We can have history and your grandparents at the same time. They're not mutually exclusive, dick. God, the depths of stupidity that they have to they have to delve to in order to provide constant fuel for the outrage machine, for the dead enders and hard cases and people, you know, the Emerys and Marvelines sitting in their matching Barca loungers down at the Ballerina Swan Lake Country Club and Trailer Park.
Yeah, they're trying to cancel Columbus, who sailed the ocean blue in 1492, Marveline. God damn it. You see, that Joe Piscopo, that don't sound like an American name.
Yeah, well, Howard Zinn, the Marxist historian that so many of our children are getting their history from, he actually...
Oh, the Marxist historian and Joe Piscopo. Well, okay, what's her name again? Rachel Campos Duffy throws in Marxist historian. You know, pretty much history is history. I mean, you can be a Marxist and a historian. You can be a Republican and a historian. You can be a Democrat and a historian. You can be an anarcho-syndicalist and a historian. You can be an... never mind. But if you're a historian, you are a historian first. You're not trying to make the history fit the ideology. Maybe your ideology comes from the history you have learned. The Marxist historian? I love that grunt from Joe Piscopo.
Hey, you diminish the fight and the journey of my grandparents by trying to cancel out Columbus Day.
Yeah, well, Howard Zinn, the Marxist historian that so many of our children are getting their history from, he actually said that, you know, you had to start with Christopher Columbus.
Hold the hell on! Howard Zinn, the Marxist historian that so many of our children are getting their history from? So, what? Have they sucked all the life out of critical race theory? Is it now going to be... we can't have Howard Zinn... Yes, Fox News TV is actually trying to... Radio Rwanda is trying to get that one going. They've kind of worn out critical race theory over the last year or so, and they need a new boogeyman. Remove Howard Zinn from our schools. We can't be teaching no first graders of the Marxist history of Howard Zinn. He didn't even love America like Joe Piscopo's grandparents did. And you know what? He's probably a G.
We're going to cast America as racist and imperialist and, you know, illegitimate. You had to start with Christopher Columbus.
Yeah, you know, I don't know how that got into the school system, but what...
I mean, it's not. Oh, Jesus. This is so, so painfully obvious. I mean, we sent 4 kids through the public schools here in West by God, Virginia. There's more going through every day. And I just about bet you, okay, $5, if I go up and go through the local, if I go through every high school library in this county, I will not find one single solitary copy of A People's History of the United States, not one. And I bet you can say the same thing about the entire state of Alabama, the entire state of West Virginia, the entire state of Texas. And God knows, you know, the home of American insurrection, South Carolina. Pretty sure there's probably not any copies of it in any high schools in Tennistan. Arkansas, Haley, you want to do a quick survey? I don't know how it's gotten schools. Well, Joe, I mean, you know, I'm pretty sure you're not just following the school book criteria debate much. Say something funny, Joe. Goddamn.
What you have to understand is what we celebrate today, Columbus Day, is even beyond Columbus. It's celebrating the ethnicity of America. The ethnicity and the mosaic is the...
Yeah, no. Not unless... I don't know. Maybe indigenous Americans don't have any ethnicity. Now, see, you can't have ethnicity unless, like, you come from Europe. No, you're not celebrating... No. Joe, you're not celebrating my ethnicity on Columbus Day. You're not celebrating the ethnicity of Eastern European Jews fleeing pogroms on Columbus Day. You are certainly not celebrating the ethnicity of African Americans stolen from Africa and brought across on the brutality of the Middle Passage with Columbus Day. Because, I mean, Columbus kind of was the reason we sort of white folks came up with the idea of enslaving people in Africa and dragging them over here. I mean, how much stupidity can you pack into one crummy little 2 minute and 53 second clip, honestly?
The foundation of the United States of America. It's the strength of America. They literally, by their hands, built this great country. The Italian Americans, the Jewish Americans, the Latino Americans, the Black Americans, the Chinese Americans.
Yeah, none of those people have anything to fucking do with Columbus. Nothing. Zip. Notice how the indigenous Americans didn't get a mention there? Well, maybe he'll get around to them yet.
We're all in this together.
Nope, we're all in this together. And no mention of the indigenous people who were here for... Now we're beginning to think a hell of a lot longer than 10, 12, 13,000 years.
Don't you cancel out one of those ethnic groups, and in this case, the Italian-Americans, you hurt all of America.
Dickhead, the Italians are not being canceled! God, it just gets so exhausting. Because you know this is stupid. I know this is stupid. This Horn Family Community Congregation knows that this is unmitigated stupidity. But it's the millions of people who tune in and watch this goofy shit and don't and never do a dime's worth of their own reading. But just as music exists in the silent spaces between the notes, so too does history exist in what Joe Piscopo and what's her name, Daphne Dipshit Ramos, Rachel Campos Duffy, aren't saying. Because the reason I read off a couple of those quotes from Columbus is because that won't show up. No. It's all about Italian heritage. Because Italian. See, I'll bet Joe Piscopo doesn't even know that Mark Twain was making fun of Christopher Columbus 2 centuries ago. Yeah, in the 1870s, 1880s, when Twain, building on the backs of people like Anne Royal, who wrote travel logs of her journeys around America, and whom Mark Twain read with great delight. She, of course, forgotten to history because, you know, woman. But thank you, Jeff Biggers, my dear friend Jeff Biggers, for writing a book called The Trials of a Scold, which remains on my bookshelf to this day, alongside his classic The United States of Appalachia. We know that she was one of the first great travel writers of the modern era, especially in the United States. But Twain took ship and traveled through Europe and over into what was referred to, and still is, I suppose, as the Holy Land. With stops in the Ottoman Empire and Turkey. And one particularly notable passage when he was in Italy with his good friend, the doctor. And the tour guide, whom they delighted in tormenting, the doctor being a doctor, would all and foreshadowing Dr. McCoy. I wonder if the writers in Star Trek knew about this. You know, McCoy became famous. He's dead, Jim. Well, the doctor, Twain's friend in The Innocents Abroad, asks every tour guide when they're being told about something, because they're riffing on the general idea of Europeans back then, that Americans were unlettered and stupid, which, well, we probably weren't as unlettered and stupid then as we are now, but never mind. At one point, showing them a bust of Christopher Columbus, Twain having a brilliant ability to write in dialect, said, the tour guide, "The great Christopher Columbo. And the doctor looks at him sternly and seriously and says, "Bear in mind, this is a bust. It's a bust. A statue. Is he dead?" "Oh, madre de..." And here is paper signed by the great Christopher Columbo. And Twain lets the doctor have all the fun, and he says, "Now see here, Ferguson. Just because we are Americans, do not think you can palm off any piece of bad penmanship on us at will. If you have some proper examples of good quality penmanship, bring it out. But until you got better than this right here, move on." I'm sure Joe Piscopo doesn't know shit from Shinola about that. "Oh, no, Mark Twain was discounting my Italian grandparents who came to Ellis Island and whose parents and grandparents were still in Naples even when he was making fun of Christopher Columbus. Why did Mark Twain hate America?" What a twit. Come on, Joe. Tell us about the Arawak woman that Christopher Columbus allowed one of his underlings to kidnap and lock in his quarters and repeatedly rape. Tell us about that, Joe Piscopo.
Yeah, well, I think so much of the attacks on Christopher Columbus, they say that he was so brutal. It's interesting that those who are trying to cancel Christopher Columbus are the same people who are trying to cover up the brutality of communism and socialism in the 20th century.
Huh? What? Denise, dipshit, dumbass, huh? So now, wait. Christopher Columbus. Well, I guess he was. He was a monarchist, but I guess you could say he was an early proto-neo-capitalist.
So, listen, Joe, you're a proud Italian. We're proud to have you as part of our Fox and Friends family. Enjoy Columbus Day as long as we have it. Thank you.
Rachel, tell Brian and Steve I said hi. We really, truly appreciate, on behalf of all of the Italian-Americans, you take it.
Oh, well, there's Joe Piscopo speaking on behalf of all the Italian-Americans. You know what? I'll bet, and our dear friend Bob Lotti passed away a while back, and he is sorely missed, but he was a proud Italian-American. Bob never had any problem acknowledging the brutalities of Christopher Columbus. He wasn't person... No. I'm just trying to figure... I dare say we've got no small number of Italian Americans in the Horn Family Community Congregation. Do you get all misty-eyed thinking about Christopher Columbus? And isn't it interesting that the people who get all worked up about Christopher Columbus are people like Joe Piscopo of some Italian heritage? He wasn't sailing on behalf of the Papal States or any of the city-states of Italy. There was no Italy at the time, right? He sailed on behalf of Spain because he was mercenary! Mercenaries are not nice people! Oh, it's enough to make you eat dirt and run rabbits. It is. Hey, wow. Nice to hear from you. Silent R. Lamar the Magnificent. I am still alive. Columbus coined the phrase, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. He says what happens in America stays in America. It could have been that way, except he insisted on taking, that's why we call the shift in technologies and food ways from the Western Hemisphere to the East and vice versa. That's why we call it the Columbian Exchange. And by the way, since they were having hissies about statues coming down and whatnot, have we done anything about the Columbus statue and Columbus Circle in Washington, D.C.? I mean, could we please? I've been hollering about that for years. I saw it the first time over a decade ago, and I'm still not okay with it. Columbus standing there holding the very globe in his hands. That's all the Columbus stands. He's holding the globe because he proved the world was round even though he didn't. And there are beautiful indigenous people. And I don't know why artists love portraying them this way, but they're cowering with their hands in front of their face, like Moses averting his eyes from the blinding face of the deity. Oh, it's disgusting. Nice to hear from you, Lamar. Nice to hear from you. Meanwhile, GK in Minnesota says, fuck Columbus Day. The opening few pages in Zinn's book are horrific. So many people need to read that book, but the snowflake ones won't. No, and, if there is a remaining brick-and-mortar purveyor of books in your town, walk in, see if there's even a copy of A People's History of the United States on the shelves. If there is, buy it. Good God. Meanwhile, Ron in Raleigh says, a word about Cristobal Colombo. One must remember that Italy did not become a country until 1861. Cristobal was a Genoan. He died in Spain. No one knows what he looked like. For some unknown reason, modern Italians have adopted this filthy colonialist. When Cristobal arrived in Hispaniola, there were approximately 3.8 million natives. In 20 years, that population had been reduced to 28,000. White people are a disease. It's hard to argue with your position. And back to the Brother Deacon Ace's spare turkey, Stephen New York writes, he should freeze it and wait to send it to the UK for Christmas. Their turkey farmers have nobody to pluck and prep the turkeys and can't get people to deliver them either. Asa could make a fucking mint. That sounds like something you'd have to scale up to enterprise level. Flavio says, Columbus Day, yippee, he brought syphilis to the New World, among other diseases. Steve says, Joe Piscopo noted what? Washed up SNL actor? I think he lifted weights for a little bit or something. I don't know. Has Nitwit Nero endorsed a brand of tanning bed bulb yet or something? Because dude, the goggles, please. Matt in San Francisco says, I'm Italian-American, and I'm ashamed of Joe Piscopo. For good reason. The concept of Italianness no more resides in Joe Piscopo than it does in the novels of Mario Puzo. Great stories, at least in the case of Mario Puzo, but not the essence of Italianness, which again didn't really exist as an idea until the latter portion of the 19th century. Ralphs. Oh my, Joe Piscopo crossed the Gulf of Napoli to Ellis Island? No wonder he needs that tanning bed. Probably be kind of molted by now. That's molted with a T, not a D. True. Whiteness is nothing more than a mere continuum. It's a status on which the washed bestow the unwashed and stamp their imprimatur. See the New England WASP. Yeah. All right. I had no idea. Obligatory Star Trek reference. Leah New York says, Joe Piscopo was on Star Trek The Next Generation, The Outrageous Okona. Data is inspired by Okona's questions and insights about humor and goes to Ten Forward to seek counsel from Guinan regarding his difficulty grasping the concept. Data then travels to the holodeck to view a comedy show by a holographic comedian. Data inquires about a series of comedic acts and performances to further his understanding of comedy. Which reminds me, I realized the other day that I have been drinking the favorite decaffeinated espresso of Data's evil twin. Mm-hmm. I looked down at the little box of capsules there, and there it was on the label, Lore, L apostrophe O R, Lore. So we've definitely worked in our obligatory Star Trek references for the evening. So, it's Moran Monday. And I feel like we've done justice by the Morans in this case. So, good Lord. We've reached the end of the first hour of the program. And remember how the other day we weren't running the fan in here? Well, you can tell we are today. I know, it sounds like I'm broadcasting live from a wind tunnel. It beats the dickens out of not broadcasting at all. It's a nice, pleasant, unpleasant 87 degrees in here this afternoon. It was a lovely day today. And it's a mite muggy, shall we say. Thank you very kindly to Christopher. Thank you. Thank you, dear friend. A little goes a long way. It does indeed, Christopher, it does. And so we are off and running, and we'll say that we're at $890 now to try to come up even, finish last week's fundraising and start on this week's. $890 away. $1,492, asks Lee, and you know what? You're probably right. $1,492, Columbus sailed the ocean blue. No. Lee says, wasn't that when the Jews got evicted from Spain? I would not be at all surprised if that... Isabella, Ferdinand and Isabella ejected the Jews from Spain, and that's how many of them made their way up to a far more tolerant, on a relative scale, low countries. The Netherlands, right? Which would later on be grievously affected by the War of Spanish Succession. Not secession, succession. You could look it up. By the way, as we enter the second hour of the program, and this is Conversation Radio, if you'd like to engage in some conversation, you're more than welcome. The stress line is, of course, 844-843-4676, 844-THE-HORN. And, of course, you can always reach via Skype at Bob Kincaid Horn, BobKincaidHorn. You're welcome to jump in that way, too. Wait, what? Asks Brother Deacon Asa. Columbus proved the earth is round? The ancient Greeks would be surprised to hear that. Yeah, Ptolemy in particular. I mean, that dude walked up and down ancient Egypt with a stick, measuring the shadow and figured out, because, you know, the kind of math I can't do, but yeah. Meanwhile, Lamar, in regard to statues, says, as I've stated before, I'm a black man, and my view on statues is this. You can have all the statues you want, but tell the fucking truth of the person whom you've made the statue of. Thank you, please. So, like I said, Moran Monday. Lots and lots of Morans. So as we move into the second hour of this Morin Monday, second full week of October, let's run over to the stress line, check in with Dave in the blind. Hey, Dave.
Hey, Robin.
How are you?
How's it going?
Ah, you know, it's...
Well, Friday I got diagnosed with a stomach virus.
Oh, no.
So I'm trying to hold things down. Christine's...
Are you doing any remedy? Huh? Are you doing... A little bit of buttermilk's good. A little bit of yogurt if you can't stand buttermilk. I'm a buttermilk fan.
Well, I'm doing the flat stripe thing.
Yeah.
My aunt was a nurse, and she told my mom to drink some flat stripe and lay on her side. That would help. And it did. But boy, I was puking my guts up Friday in the ER.
Oh, yuck. You know what the lay in your side parts, on your side parts for?
No. They had me on my back, elevated up a little bit, but...
Well, the lay on your side part is because you've got a garbage can off the side of the bed. But you got to lay on the side facing the edge of the bed, otherwise it doesn't work.
Right. Well, I started to hurl, and the nurse thought I was choking, and I was leaning down into my barf bag, so she understood I wasn't choking. I was just getting started.
Yeah. Well, dinner in the Central Daylight Time Zone just took one right amidships.
Well, I'm happy to help.
We've got to live up to our expectations here, Dave. Thank you for that.
Okay. Now, as to Mr. Piscopo, I think he needs to lay off the roids. I personally think he,
I think the roids may have actually gone to his brain, and I'm not talking about steroids.
Yeah.
Tough crowd.
He's a hot mess. Columbus would probably never have had anything to do with Naples because he's Genovese. And there was more than a little bit of rivalry between the two back then. So the only thing he would have had to do with Naples is maybe stealing their ships.
Yeah, or their chickens. Who knows? I mean.
Yeah, why not? But this whole cancel crap.
I know.
It drives me crazy when they start quoting. They start besmirching somebody because the title of his book is starts out with the peoples, and they automatically think, "Oh, that must mean he's a Marxist." It's scholastically lazy. But I don't expect any brilliance from Fox. So.
Yeah, those are two words that don't happen in the same sentence.
You know, their founder got his start producing the Mike Douglas Show.
So much truth.
And while I loved the Mike Douglas Show when I was a kid, if I'd known Roger Ailes was such a douchebag, I wouldn't have watched it. But I was one of those kids that got home in the afternoon and saw things like that, or, you know, and just followed along. But I have some news. Christine is now home.
Wonderful.
But I have not been able to go over there because of the stomach virus. She told me, stay home until it clears my system. So I'm going to wait about another week and see how I feel. But I have not been able to really hold anything down for the last 2 days. I've been able to hold it down long enough but I just wish I'd get over it.
Well, I mean, is it a bug or did you eat something bad? I mean,
I ate something bad. I ate something bad, and the doctors told me it's going to take a little while to go through your system, but I wasn't in any real danger.
Well, I was wondering, honestly, Dave, I was wondering what happened to that other half of the peanut butter sandwich in the nuclear nuclear.
I had nothing to do with that, Jared. Don't you start that shit. I'm not having the FBI show up at my door, damn it. Don't you start that shit.
Well, I mean, it's a fair question. Where's the other half of the peanut butter sandwich?
I am not a goddamn nuclear scientist, damn it. And for Agent Fred, I firmly deny robbing got it from behind. Okay, there, I've said it. Now it's on the record.
God, we've had a lot of great exchanges over the years. That may be one of the best, Dave.
Thank you, Robin. I appreciate it. I mean, how stupid can a guy be? Oh, yeah, I'm going to go to West Virginia and hide this in a half a peanut butter sandwich. That guy should be jailed for life for his own protection. He's too damn stupid.
He shouldn't be let out of the house without a helmet. And this guy's a nuclear engineer.
Yeah, well.
I mean, this is, honest to God, if you think about it long enough, it just gets stupider by the second. Yeah, I mean, this is the old Three Stooges routine. You remember it? If I get there wait. Remember this? Now listen, if you get there first, you make a mark. If I get there first, I'll rub it out.
Yep.
This is that level.
Oh my God! And you gotta wonder you gotta wonder if this was a Navy counterintelligence operation, because he was employed by the Pentagon, and those guys review their people regularly. I mean, it's not uncommon for them to look at people at random, or if something crops up, then, you know, it gets turned over to NCIS or something like that. And so it doesn't surprise me that supposedly happened on April 1st and it's taken this long to arrest him. Yeah, they want to get everything nailed down. But I would remind people that that was April 1st of last year, wasn't it?
I think.
Yeah. So that was under Nitwit Nero. But how much you want to bet? How much you want to bet Nitwit Nero goes because of the Biden administration?
Oh, sure. Without a doubt.
Oh, I also have an update on my idiot brother.
Yes?
Evidently, he went off on my sister. Went over to her house, started yelling at her. She told me he's not welcome to my house. My dad, as right-wing as my dad is in agreement. My brother's mentally ill. I told Kathy, if we need to, it's going to take at least two of us to sign off on any examination that we request in the court. We're seriously considering having a 10-day psych hold put on him so that he can be examined.
Oh.
And it's not that... He's gotten involved with somebody who's a QAnon freak, who's stolen money from him, who my brother, who's never been that far to the right, has gone all QAnon. And I was like, well, wait. And it's his friend Todd. My mother hated this guy. Said he was a bad influence. Well, that was 2 years ago. I said, yeah, I've heard him talk about him, and he told me that the guy's taking money from him. I said, what is he, married to the guy or something? Kathy said, I don't know. It's not that we have a problem with him being married to the guy. If you're going to do that, keep your husband away from me. I don't want to be anywhere near him. And all I asked my brother was not to come around me until he was vaccinated. I didn't think I was being too out of line.
No, I don't think so.
And I had to actually go a couple of blocks to meet the ambulance because my street's blocked off on two sides. They're installing a sewer. So, yeah, it's been a real week for me.
I'm so sorry.
I was so upset that when I got home, I just crashed, and for 36 hours, I was asleep. I was just so worn out. But, yeah, I don't understand it. I've stopped listening to the news pretty much because all these right-wing dipshits are getting all the airtime. And it's not that they're the...
You're not wrong.
It's not that they're the... They're not the majority. They're just taking up the most space. I took a folklore class at IU. And my professor identified as a liberal, progressive, fundamentalist Christian. And I looked at him a little strangely. He said, yes, we do exist. And
I was going to say, that kind of makes my head hurt a little bit, too. But, okay.
No, but he explained that, you know, the Great Commission, do unto others, things like that, helping the poor, and you know, feeding people and taking care of your neighbors, that sort of thing. That's the kind of brand of Christianity he's been practicing. Okay, cool. I can respect that. But he said that it's not that the religious right is the majority, even among fundamentalist Christians. They just take up the most space. They yell the loudest. So you think that they're the only game in town. And he... It was a really interesting class. We got into folk religious practices, including snake handling.
Go. It's not worth doing if you're not going to get into snake handling.
And the number of people, you know, a couple dozen people a year who follow that, end up getting killed, usually by rattlesnakes.
Yeah.
Only because
Gabon vipers are kind of hard to come by, but, you know, knock wood that they remain that way.
Yeah. We don't want them releasing them out in the middle of the woods, you know, because, well, you know, Papaw's dead. Let's release... Reach your snakes out in the woods where they can have a good time. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't see that.
I know.
But I hope things are going well for you and Agnes.
Things are going, well, I mean, you know,
last Friday was rough. There's no getting around it, but
yeah, oh sure.
I got, you know, I kind of got through all of that. I guess I thank you for asking because I kind of needed. I've had questions and I need to update that. Last Friday and Saturday into Saturday was really, really hard, and really upsetting. A lot of tears, a lot of frustration, but any process. I mean, you know, it's not abnormal. It's not unhealthy to be upset when you are screwed over by an insurance company.
No, and but, I used to.
But eventually, you run out of tears, and you say to yourself, "Okay, I can sit here and cry till hell freezes over, or I can get pissed off and do something about it." And so I've moved into that space.
Yeah, well, I had an unfortunate. I responded to a solicitation from a group of law firms that are taking the Catholic Church court over the sexual abuse situation, and being a survivor of that, I called them. Unfortunately, the statute of limitations has run out for me.
Ugh.
So I wish them well. I wish them well, and I had to go through that for a couple of days, right around Saturday. So I understand. I understand. And I'm not really that upset in that, you know, my abuse took place over 35 years ago.
Jesus.
And there is no way in hell if I had to do it over again. When I came forward in my 30s, I should have found a lawyer and filed suit. But I thought they would drag everything about me into it. Because why not blame the victim even when they're 11 years old when it started? You know. But I wish them well. The interesting thing is that the diocese where this happened, a Indy Star article from like 10 or 12 years ago found that there were 12 priests out of 72 that had been accused of molesting people. And actually that number's higher because the man who molested me was not among that 12. So, I am probably going to request the records that they have to turn it over to my psychologist. I want nothing from them. I didn't even want money from them at the time. I simply wanted him to be held accountable. I couldn't get it criminally because, well, on top of everything else, this is Taliban the end.
True.
I remember one priest here locally in Indianapolis years ago was accused, and the next week they were asking for prayers to the priest. Not the young men that he allegedly molested, or for survivors of sexual abuse in general. So I stopped giving to the church and I stopped going. And that is a rough thing. So you are going to challenge this. Your doctors are going to resubmit.
The doctor's doing his part, and I'm doing mine. And
okay,
I don't want this thing to be postponed. I want it to happen when it's supposed to happen. But by the same token, there are other processes at work, and if I have to wait a little bit to get to where I need to be, well, I can do that too.
But that doesn't change who you are, Robin. So you keep fighting. Just know that you've got a lot of people pulling for you.
Oh, I do know that, and it is a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful thing, Dave. It is.
All right, Robin. Well, I'll let you go so somebody else can jump on here.
Okay, somebody was beeping in just a moment ago. Sounds good. Dave, you take care. Please give our best to Christine and tell her how much we love her.
I will.
All right, you take care, Dave. Bye now. And if you were trying to get in on the stress line is now open. Or you can use Skype. Let's see here. I know. Brother Deacon Asa says, why do we have a statute of limitations on rape? May as well put a statute of limitations on murder while we're at it, for fuck's sake. Well, you know, on a federal basis, there is. It depends state to state. Some states say that there are no statute of limitations on felonies. Other states, or majority of them, and a few have statutes. Others, not so much. So it just depends on what state you're in and who you're talking to. Now, there's always going to be a statute of limitations on civil suits, but civil and criminal are completely different animals. A little historical fact-checking from the Horn Ad Hoc Research Department. Thank you, Ron and Raleigh. Yes, the Jews were expelled by Ferdinand and Isabella, but not before Ferdy and Izzy stole their money to fund Cristoforo Colombo's real name. That's his real name, Cristoforo. Fund his cruise to the New World to rape and pillage and otherwise lay waste. Columbus in Naples, Lee in New York, says, breaking news on Fox, Columbus called Naples for a pizza delivery. That's how he knew the world was round. Oh, God. I was wrong. It wasn't Ptolemy. I was just trying to reach for a random ancient Greek, and Ptolemy's easy. Lee says, it was Eratosthenes who calculated the circumference of the earth, as told by Carl Sagan. Okie doke. That helps. Meanwhile, I'm sorry, Robert. Robert writes in from isolation in Oz. Columbus Day? You know, I feel so sorry for how easily the miserable consumer capitalism of the United States makes its way all the way up over down under to Australia. Robert says, hey, I just got my first Columbus Day email from an online company in China. China? American holiday? I live in Australia? That hurts my brain. Yeah, it didn't do any for mine either. And oh Lord, I do understand. By the way, speaking of which, I and Dave was talking about not feeling so great. You know, I got my booster, my Pfizer booster, a week ago last Friday. It was literally October the 1st, and Agnes got hers. The following Thursday, 6 days later. And I had, apart from a sore arm, I had no immediate after effects or side effects or whatever. But over the course of the weekend, and I have to factor in stress as well, because, I mean, what the insurance guy, the shit they pulled on Friday was definitely Excedrin headache Avogadro's number. But, wow. Been a little weird. Kind of some brain fog over the weekend, and off and on headache, and upon further review, I remember shortly after my first shot that some sort of random headaches would pop in. So when you get your booster, you know, please don't let this discourage you from it, but when you get it, just be aware and keep the ibuprofen handy if you can take ibuprofen. I mean, Tylenol's never done a damn thing for me. And that's another thing. We call it acetaminophen generically here, Tylenol. But in Europe, it's paracetamol. Can we get some standards on this, please? I was terribly confused during the early days of the pandemic. What the hell is paracetamol? Yeah? Oh, well, thank you. Thank you. That's two now. Brother Deacon Asa and Shorty in L.A. Cowbell for you, girl. I got that Roids joke. You know doggone well dogs eat everything. The dog did it. Hell yeah. Come on, a peanut butter sandwich. Anyone have a dog without difficulty barking? Guilty dog. But yeah, that's... Dave said Joe Piscopo needs to lay off the roids, and I said, I think the roids have gone to his brain, and I ain't talking about steroids. It's not nearly as funny when you have to repeat it, but thank you for the cowbell. It's good to know you and Asa got it, Shorty. I appreciate that immensely. I didn't know that. Today is also called the Ma'afa. The Ma'afa is the Black Holocaust. And I'll check out the link in a little bit after the program. Thank you, Shorty. Shorty says, Happy Indigenous Peoples Day to my whole surviving family in the Omaha Nation. Indeed, indeed, indeed. And we're rapidly approaching the halfway mark of the program, and it would be awfully nice because we're also entering the thin, not too terribly many subscribers portion of the month. And it would be great if we could move on downward from $890 to something at least, you know, I don't know, Knockout Thursday of last month. That would be wonderful. Well, you were on there and then you went away. If you want to jump in on the conversation, you are more than welcome so to do. As usual, you know, Bob Kincaid Horn on Skype or 304-574-8178 rings in the same way. Or there's always the stress line, 844-843-4676, 844-THE-HORN. And yeah, over on social media, by the way, this is a shout-out to Timothy. I thought pretty much everybody on Facebook knew that I was out. And I got a note from Timothy because today is National Coming Out Day. And it really kind of felt special today because I was not out to this community or globally or anything. But a year ago today over at Maggie's in Fayetteville, the day before I had asked the proprietor there, if it being National Coming Out Day, if it would be okay that I came out there. He said, sure. See you tomorrow. And I've not published a photo that went with that. Not many people have seen it. Some have. But I got as dolled up as I possibly could and stepped out into the wide, wide world a year ago today. So over on my Facebook page, I put up a picture from that picture from a year ago and a different picture from exactly a year later. And so... it's a day of special thanks. It is a day of Thanksgiving, although I don't want to be accused of bogarting the Canoodlian holiday. I'm intensely grateful to everyone, friends and family, who have made the last year such a magnificent experience.
and, you know, kind of fuck that insurance company, but not going to let them steal this happiness. And I mentioned National Coming Out Day because he did it again. Oh, yeah, he did it again. President Joe Biden issued a statement, a presidential statement, honoring, no shit, honoring National Coming Out Day. Now, granted, the maggots, even the LGBTQIA plus maggots don't give a good goddamn about the fact that Nitwit Nero never did that. And if he had managed to overturn the election on January 6th, he wouldn't have issued one today. But this bears reading. Because even if Joe Biden is insufficiently ideologically pure, and I know he is. So many of us still know that Joe Biden is insufficiently ideologically pure, and we don't understand why he won't just grab the bull by the horns and or the mansion by the bullshit and make him go along with his plans, his hopes, his dreams for a better America. I know that. But there is still value, especially in light of the recent controversy that Dan Fisher and I talked about last week over Netflix's insistence on releasing that disgusting yawp, that barbaric screed Dave Chappelle put out, that wholesale attack on LGBTQ America. Because, you know, the LGBTQ, QQIA plus community kind of has to adopt the ancient language of labor in which a harm to one is a harm to all. Because, among other things, what Dave Chappelle was trying to do with his dirty little bit, and it was dirty. It's dirtier than any foul-mouthed rant of any comedian ever. What he was trying to do was, and this is what the TERFs try to do too, they try to carve the trans community and the queer community out of the greater LGBTQIA plus community. They want the T, the Q, the QQ, the I, and the A, the fuck gone. So it's just an LGB community. And then they'll go after the B. And when they're done with the B's, they'll go after they'll go after the G. And when they're done with the G, they'll go after the L. Until we've all been erased. But that having been said, and there's more to go with that story. The White House issued the following statement today. Today, we celebrate National Coming Out Day and the courage of LGBTQ plus people who live their lives with pride, create community with open arms and hearts, and showcase the strength of being your authentic self. Today and every day, I want every member of the LGBTQ plus community to know that you are loved and accepted just the way you are, regardless of whether or not you've come out. My administration is committed to ensuring that LGBTQ plus people can live openly, proudly, and freely in every corner of our nation. I'm proud to lead an administration with LGBTQ plus officials serving openly at the highest levels of government, and prouder that together we have made historic progress advancing protections and equal opportunities for the LGBTQ plus community. From acting on day one to prevent and combat discrimination to enabling all qualified Americans, including transgender Americans, to serve their country in uniform, to defending the human rights of LGBTQ plus people around the world, my administration has been clear that we will continue to champion the dignity, equality, and well-being of the LGBTQ plus community. Despite the extraordinary progress our nation has made, our work to ensure the full promise of equality is not yet done. Anti-LGBTQ plus bills still proliferate in state legislatures.
bullying and harassment, particularly of young transgender Americans and LGBTQ plus people of color, still abounds, diminishing our national character. We must continue to stand together against these acts of hate and stand up to protect the rights, opportunities, physical safety, and mental health of LGBTQ plus people everywhere. From defeating discriminatory bills to passing the Equality Act, we have more work to do to ensure that every American can live free of fear, harassment, and discrimination because of who they are or whom they love. To LGBTQ plus people across the country, and especially those who are contemplating coming out, know that you are loved for who you are, you are admired for your courage, and you will have a community and a nation to welcome you. My administration will always have your back, and we will continue fighting for the full measure of equality, dignity, and respect you deserve. Nitwit Nero never issued anything like that. Barack Obama, I don't think, ever issued anything like that. Dim leader? No. Bill Clinton? No. Pappy Bush? No. Reagan? Certainly not. I think we need to be generous in giving credit where credit is damned well due. In point of fact, during the four nightmare years of Nitwit Nero, there was an active ban on saying anything supportive of the LGBTQIA+ community. COVID Caligula absolutely and profoundly refused even to take note of Pride Month or this National Coming Out Day or the Trans Day of Visibility. And of course, appointed judges whom the maggots and the white wing and the evangelicals hold profound hope will do things like overturn Obergefell and destroy millions of marriages in this country. You know, the family values people. Yeah. So, we would do well to take note of this historic act, monumental act. And I think there's a certain beauty in this statement coming today and hopefully overshadowing some of the nastiness that attended and always attends any observation of the celebration of genocide that is Columbus Day. Yeah. Yeah. I said there was more on the fallout from Dave Chappelle. Well, it takes two forms. On the one hand, an absolutely brilliant piece in the Los Angeles Times by LZ Granderson addressing the Dave Chappelle hate fest. It's a lengthy piece. But one of the things that, if you were to watch the Dave Chappelle piece, and I certainly do not encourage it, it's for anybody who cares about the trans community, to watch that thing is an exercise in self-harm. he got on stage meaning to hurt people, and he hurt people. That tells me everything I ever needed to know about Dave Chappelle. He is an almost irredeemably awful person. That having been said, this opinion piece in the LA Times, I'm sorry, it's not today's, it's from Saturday's LA Times, is profound. It starts out, there are queer people in Selma, Alabama. And the minute I saw that opening line, I thought, wait, what? Because one of the arguments that he makes is that the LGBTQ community has made too much progress, and that the measure of that is that racism still exists in the United States. I can't comprehend the cognition that wound up with that thesis, but here we are, and there he is. He talks about trans people as if trans people are only white. He ignores the fact that black trans women bear the biggest brunt of brutality, violence, and murder within this community. Being trans ain't easy. Being black and trans is probably 50 times as hard. For any number of reasons that I am not qualified to delve into. Being black and queer is twice as hard, 4 times, 50 times, 100 times as hard. Again, for reasons that I am unqualified to delve into, but LZ Granderson in the LA Times on the 9th did it masterfully. Probably a bad word. Did it profoundly. Did it with great skill. There are queer people in Selma, Alabama. You know, in all the years I've visited, watched documentaries, and followed news coverage of civil rights activists crossing the Edmund Pettus Bridge in observance of Bloody Sunday, it had never occurred to me that some of the foot soldiers in 1965 were queer, or that some of the residents who currently live in this historic town are. It wasn't until I watched screeners from season 2 of the Emmy-nominated reality TV show We're Here that I became aware of some of the ways I subconsciously contribute to my own queer erasure. In fact, it wasn't until seeing the Selma episode of the HBO series, which begins its second season on Monday in time for National Coming Out Day, that's this evening, that I became aware of how much I had accepted the lack of intersectionality in the retelling of our times. Or in Dave Chappelle's case, the retelling of jokes. Ooh, that's cold. That went all the way to the bone. Nothing worse in the world of comedy than recycling. It's great everywhere else. Comedy, not so much. And offers up a tosses Dave a bone. Now, I happen to think Chappelle is one of the most brilliant comedians to ever pick up a microphone, but when it comes to intersectionality, he has painfully glaring blind spots. Continuing to tell jokes about the rainbow through a prism of black and white. And then points out black women account for nearly 60% of new HIV. Okay, so back up. In this awful piece of stand-up garbage, Chappelle says the rapper DaBaby, whom Dan Fisher mentioned, he claims DaBaby was canceled for homophobic comments. Chappelle says, quote, he punched the LGBTQ community right in the AIDS. And no, that's not sharp, that's not edgy, that's not holding a mirror up to society. That's just punching down and being shitty. That's failing to take into account the sea of blood and tears that attended the AIDS-HIV epidemic. And the author says Chappelle could have easily subbed out LGBTQ for black because no group contracts or dies from the virus more than black people and not just queer men. Black women account for nearly 60% of new HIV cases among women. Speaking of which, when Don't Ask, Don't Tell was forcing queer people out of the military, robbing them of their careers, no group was hurt more by this policy than black women. Most of the trans people killed and their deaths ignored black. I could go on, but I think you get the picture. And a little bit out of history. Maybe if more people knew that Bayard Rustin, an openly queer black man, introduced the Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. To the principles of nonviolence and organized the March on Washington, they would see how nonsensical Chappelle's us versus them brand of humor, such as it is, really is. Maybe. Go read the piece. I mean, I shared a couple of the paragraphs from it. Go read it. Not right now. L.Z. Granderson. What I want Dave Chappelle to understand about the color of queerness. From the L.A. Times. It is, in fact, profound, and it is an antidote. Just like what the YouTube video that I mentioned is an antidote. It's an antidote to that hatred. Thank you very kindly to our dear friend Don in British Columbia. Thank you so much. Hey, we are making progress. We are down to $840 to go to, well, $540 to go to finish last week and then this evening's fundraising. Thank you. Thank you so much, Don. Back to Columbus for a minute. Jeremy in Vermont says, Columbus, yeah, the old grift. Celebrating the man who never set foot anywhere near American soil, yet's given the credit for discovering this continent, even though evidence that people were here long before is often overlooked. Yeah, you know, 13,000 plus years overlooked. That's some restaurant quality overlooking is what that is. But as I said, the fallout from Chappelle continues. And, you know, I know too much about the Constitution to sit here and say, oh, they're violating free speech. No, they're not. First Amendment says the government can't quash your free speech, not that Netflix can't. And so, last week I mentioned to you, and I had tweeted out a thread, and it went viral, from a Netflix employee patiently, carefully, surgically dissecting how vicious and harmful that miserable thing is. Chappelle. Thing. Whatever. And, of course, when you speak truth to power, power will respond with punishment. So, a transgender Netflix employee and two of her colleagues have been suspended for daring to criticize Dave Chappelle. According to a report in The Verge, Tara Field, T-E-R-R-A, Tara Field is a software engineer. For Netflix. And she was the one who issued the Twitter thread that called out her employer for engaging in such manifest hate.
among other things, Netflix doubled down and said, and this is one of the stupidest statements I've recently heard a corporation make. Comedy is supposed to test boundaries, and Netflix will never tolerate some a performer who deliberately tries to hurt people. Bullshit. Great big giant steaming piles of bullshit. Because that's exactly what he did. What's the exact quote? Yeah, there it is. We repeatedly provide a... No. That's... No. Yeah, Netflix CEO Ted Sarandos sent out an internal email earlier this month and said that, yeah, just because the trans community's upset doesn't mean we're going to take it down. We don't allow titles on Netflix that are designed to incite hate or violence, and we don't believe this one crosses that line. Good God, Ted Sarandos, you fucking dick. He brags about beating someone up. But that doesn't incite hate or violence. I recognize, however, that distinguishing between commentary and harm is hard, especially with stand-up comedy, which exists to push boundaries. Some people find the art of stand-up to be mean-spirited, but our members enjoy it, and it's an important part of our content offering. So basically what Ted Sarandos is saying is that, well, you know, we've got some members who hate trans people. So we're going to put some content up there that they can sit and watch and guffaw to, and then maybe go out and stomp the shit out of some black trans woman after they watch it. It's an important part of our content offering. Oh. And so Netflix has suspended these three employees because they tried to get into a meeting of the top executives to explain to them just exactly how much harm they were doing. They tried to get into the QBR, the quarterly business review for Netflix. That's attended by the top 500 employees at the company. Now, Tara Field is a senior software engineer, but I guess that doesn't qualify to be in the top 500. Netflix said, "Oh no, we didn't suspend her over what she said on Twitter. We suspended her for trying to get in and speak truth to power." I'm paraphrasing. We suspended her for attending uninvited. Oh well, my God, did she put her elbows on the table too? Yeah. A Netflix spokes creep speaking to Variety said, "Oh, it's absolutely untrue to say that we've suspended any employees for tweeting about this show. Our employees are encouraged to disagree openly, and we support their right to do so. We just ignore them." Oh, wait, I added that last part. But her assertions and allegations remain true. She wrote, "Our existence is funny to him, and when we object to his harm, we're offended." And then she went on to list a number of trans people killed in hate crimes. And Ted Sarandos, now, it's all about the money, you know.
Chappelle is one of the most popular stand-up comedians today, and we have a long-standing deal with him. His last special, Sticks and Stones, also controversial, is our most watched, stickiest, and most award-winning...
Stickiest, really? Find a better word, Ted, and it conjures up some unpleasant images.
And most award-winning stand-up special to date. We made lots of money.
Netflix was also behind an original series called Dear White People. And Jacqueline Moore a queer person. She was the showrunner on Dear White People. And she said, I never loved Dave's trans material before, but this time it felt different. This is the first time I felt like, oh, people are laughing at this joke and they're agreeing that it's absurd to call me a woman. And so she has spoken out against it. But as of this date, Tara Field remains suspended. I guess we're just blipping all over creation this evening. Sorry about that. Wish I could do something about it. But, you know, can't hope it settles down. Hope it doesn't get any worse. Let's see here. Note coming in from Greg. On PBS in my hood here in God's country, North Dakota Stan, it's godforsaken, hey, 9 p.m. Central Daylight Time, activists fight for the psychiatry establishment over labeling homosexuality as a mental illness that needs to be cured. Just an FYI. Hey! Thanks, Greg. Thank you kindly. Every marginalized community has to fight. No getting around it. And whether it's Dave Chappelle or Christopher Columbus, the proof is in the pudding. And by the way, just because they're butthurt does not mean that the Italian-American community is a marginalized community. Maybe Joe Piscopo feels marginalized, but I'm pretty sure that he's not. And speaking of Columbus Day, there's a Senate candidate in Missouri by the name of Eric Schmidt. And today, tweeting this moron declared, in 1492, the consensus among scientists was that the Earth was flat. Christopher Columbus challenged that notion and changed the world forever. Man. God bless Kevin Cruz, a real live, honest-to-God historian, who busted him right down to the ground and replied to this maggot moron, both pithily and briefly. Congrats on never reading a book after the second grade. Eric Schmidt, husband to Jamie, father to Stephen, Sophia and Olivia, Missouri's Attorney General, candidate for U.S. Senate. Where's his MAGA hashtag? Because he's a maggot. Mm-hmm. And as noted, it was Eratosthenes who, 1,700 years before Christopher Columbus, proved that the world was, in fact, round. And unlike Bugs Bunny, it didn't involve throwing a baseball and having it come back with a bunch of stickers from foreign countries on it. I got my history from Bugs Bunny, never mind. Yeah. But, you know, this guy's, Eric Schmidt, is a damn genius, but luckily there's some wonderful historicity in the article. NYU's Rebecca Ann Goetz, an associate professor there, said knowledge of a spherical Earth was widely discussed as early as the 5th century B.C. and cites Aristotle. Then there's Thomas Lecoq. Quit it.
professor of medieval history at Grandview University. In 1492, almost everyone in Europe knew that the Earth was round and were closer to the accurate size than Columbus was. Columbus followed an incorrect line of reasoning based on bad exegesis and only survived due to luck. No one thought the world was flat. Up at the University of Pittsburgh, my hatred of which, sorry, I will suspend for purposes of this conversation. I mean, I'm morally obliged to hate Pitt, okay? Brock Baer is a professor of religion at Pitt and said, nope, absolutely wrong. Any scholar of the Middle Ages knew the earth was round. The myth that they believed it was flat came from the 19th century when anti-Catholic propagandists like John William Draper and Washington Irving wanted to claim religion was in conflict with science. And the one thing that nobody pointed out, no matter how brilliant they were, is that, well, in 1492, science was in its infancy. Whatever scientific advancements had been made in the Roman Empire had been buried under the theological weight of Roman Catholic dogma and, to a certain extent, Greek Orthodox dogma in Eastern Europe. Not nearly as bad there. A good deal of science had been preserved in the Muslim world. Algebra, anyone? Right? And was considerably in better shape in ancient Asia and the Indian subcontinent. But this is also roughly the same time period when eventually Galileo will be threatened with death and forced into house arrest for building on the notion that the earth revolves around the sun and not vice versa. Oh, and by the way, I could look it up, but one of y'all probably knows. The moon in the evening now has a really, really bright planet kind of down about 5 o'clock to it. Is that Venus? Jupiter? Saturn? But I noticed it the other night on a clear evening. It's really diamond bright. Anybody know off the top of your head? Yeah? If it comes in, I'll share. Truth to Power, Jeremy in Vermont says, of course you're blipping. You're calling out Dave for his hateful words and comedy. Conspiracy-minded folks would say this blipping is on purpose. Just saying, not saying. I understand. Yeah. I just reached up under the aluminum foil to scratch a little dry spot on my noggin, because I'm wearing mine. Yeah. I told you this was going to be a heck of a morning Monday. Oh, wait. Speaking of morons,
October 11th, 2021. Statement by Donald J. Trump, 45th President of the United States of America.
Wait a minute. You know, this is going to make, it's going to be so much better when we do it this way. This makes so much more sense. I think henceforward, any more of these statements from Nitwit Nero, we're going to use this in the background.
The highly partisan Unselect Committee is just a sideshow to distract America from massive failures by Biden and the Democrats. What happened to the Capitol would never have happened if the people in charge did their job and looked at the intelligence. They abandoned the officers on the ground, just like Biden abandoned Americans in Afghanistan. Instead of holding bad leaders accountable, the Democrats are going after innocent staffers and attacking the Constitution. Why is it...
Innocent staffers, he means Steve Bannon and Mark Meadows. Really?
Why is the just-released bombshell January 6th whistleblower report being ignored by the mainstream media? Based on this high-ranking Capitol Police official's report, these partisan hearings must stop at once.
I've read it. I read the letter. It's not in there.
This is yet another continuation of the radical left's witch hunt led by shifty Adam Schiff.
Oh, he thinks he's so clever, doesn't he?
And his crew, who misled America on Russia, Russia, Russia.
Someday they're going to fuck up and type Marsha, 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 and I'm going to have such fun when that happens.
The perfect Ukraine phone call, the Mueller report scam, and so much else. Now Shifty, who couldn't get a job with the administration, is at it again. Radical left Democrats are rapidly destroying America.
Ah, oh, for fuck's sake. Because he's having a shit hemorrhage. What with what we talked about on Friday, the Biden administration saying, no, we'll release all of Nitwit Nero's shit. Executive privilege goes with the executive who's in the office at the time and not with former guys. Eat a bag of dicks, Donnie. Eat a bag of dicks. I mean, because that's kind of the way I read it. It was in very nice language. But meanwhile, over in the Senate, we spend so much time banging away at Joe Manchin. I wonder if he celebrated Columbus Day today. I don't know. But he has allies, or should we say accomplices? And it's not just Senator Curtsy Enema. No. Enter Chris Coons from Delaware. Chris Coons is also upset, terribly, terribly upset that ugly things were said. Only Chuck Schumer didn't say any ugly things. He just spoke factually. Chris Coons yesterday talking to who? Of course, Fox News Sunday, said, frankly, I agree with the reasons why Senator Schumer was so frustrated, that this standoff over the debt limit was risky, was unnecessary, was a manufactured crisis. Joe Manchin had his head in his hands because he thought Senate leaders ought to be reaching out and talking to members directly. If we're going to solve problems facing the American people, we have to be able to work together. The timing may not have been the best. Oh, for fuck's sake. That sounds like the kind of bilious pablum that we get every time some lawful gun owner walks into a school and starts mowing down students. Well, we can't talk about gun issues right now because people need time to send tots and pears, and it's too soon. And of course, Chris Coons gave cover to John Thune of South Dakota Stan. I thought it was totally out of line. I just thought it was an incredibly partisan speech after we had just helped him solve a problem. And, of course, Moscow Mitch issued a letter saying, you know, we ain't going to help y'all no more. We'll let this whole country go to hell in a handbasket. I don't give a shit. Granny starved fucking death. We ain't going to help y'all no more because you's mean because you told people what we done. And you done pinky swore to us you wouldn't. God. Sometimes it's like we just suck at this. This isn't herding cats. This is butterfly wrangling. And it's just awful. Awful. And there's no let up. Okay, I wondered. I thought it was. Thank you very kindly. Lee in New York. Venus is in between the moon and the horizon. It is so sparklingly beautiful, bright. Just absolutely, it is. It's diamond bright. Like a blue-white diamond. Thank you, Lee. And thank you as well to Bernadette. The moon is with Venus. Beautiful. And it is. When the sun, just as the sun sets, and yesterday it was all clear, and I was crossing the New River Gorge Bridge, and the blue of the sky was merging into yellow and pink, and then down at the horizon line, orange, and up in the blue was the crescent moon, and what I now know to be Venus, down between the two. There are moments that are nothing short of breathtaking if we just take a moment. Just take a moment to appreciate it. I had no idea. Jupiter, Saturn, Mars, and Mercury are all visible in the sky tonight. Thank you, Jeremy. Thank you. It's just gorgeous. Let's see here. What else? Oh, wait. I almost forgot something. We haven't spent any time with the Herman Cain Award winners and nominees. How about this guy? This meme. I heard the government is putting chips inside of people. I hope I get Doritos. And our Herman Cain Award winner typed, or Aldi Funyuns. Now I gotta check out the Aldi Funyuns. So wait. Are we not doing My Body, My Choice anymore? That was August the 4th. People who don't want the vaccine aren't refusing it. You don't say a person is refusing to take antidepressants or refusing to get married. You can decline without refusing. This is what we call sophistry. Only not when it's coming from a maggot. That's just stupidity. Stupidity. Okay, I can live with stupidity. It sounds maggoty. You decide what's best for you. Refuse is a manipulative term loaded with unfair moral pressure. And our awardee said, exactly. 97% of scientists, singular, 97% of scientists agree with whoever is funding them. And then here it comes. In need of prayers, I'm asking everyone we know to please pray or send good thoughts to our sweet friends and their three children. They tested positive for COVID 2 weeks ago. Has been hospitalized for about 2 weeks with COVID pneumonia and is now on ventilator and had an emergency C-section and delivered their baby boy 10 and a half weeks early and remains in the hospital and continues to fight each day. We are praying for healing for and strength for as well as their extended family. Get well soon. It's about time you two meet each other, the baby and the mama. 2:36 p.m., 3 pounds, 8 ounces, 10 and a half weeks early, 15 inches long. Born 10 and a half weeks early, and he's thriving. We have a long road ahead, but thankful for how things went. He would have been one chunky full-term baby, that's for sure. And Mama, with a mask and oxygen, holding her newborn. And then this. The world lost an amazing daddy, husband, brother, son, and friend today. My heart is in a million pieces. He went home. He's with our two angel babies watching over the four of us. This is Mama writing.
I don't know what to think or feel, but I know he's no longer hurting. Please pray for my girls that they find peace over the next few days. Please pray for baby that he will always feel his presence. I have no idea what comes next, but your thoughts and prayers were never not felt. Let's sort that one out. And I truly appreciate each and every one of you. He was my best friend, the absolute best daddy in the world, an amazing husband. Now you can ride your bike forever, baby. I love you always. And a photograph of Daddy with two of his little girls smiling and happy. Wouldn't get the vaccine. He and his science teacher wife were both in the hospital with COVID, and he died without ever seeing his little baby boy. Oh, here's one. Sinus infections are the worst. At least it's not bothering my throat this time, though. That was August 10th. Yep, sounds like that Delta variant strain of Rona. Best get it looked at. I know good mechanic. Oh, shit, I was around you the other night. You better go get tested, too. I got my rabies shot, and I'm dewormed. August 17th. We've heard this one before, haven't we? Hi, table for two, please. Sure, and your name? Jim. Great. And do you and your guests have your vaccination cards? Of course I do, but before I show you, I need to know who my server and bus person for refills will be, please. Looks like Brad will be your server, and there are a few refill specialists tonight. Great. Can you show me your and their vaccination cards? And also, can you provide me with proof that none of you are a carrier of HIV, hepatitis A or B, or any other communicable diseases? Also, we would prefer not to be served by someone who's on or uses recreational drugs such as marijuana, cocaine, meth, fentanyl, etc. So if you could provide us with the most recent drug screen, that'd be great. Weirdest thing is losing your taste, and then September 30th. Weirdest thing is losing your taste buds and smell when you're eating. I'm all about the flavor in food, and I'm hardly getting any sleep, so it's just making me weak at times. Other than that, life's just grand. This COVID shit sucks. And then a dialogue. That's good that you only got a mild strain. Is this your first time? Were you vaccinated? Hopefully you feel better soon. No, I wasn't. Not going to, neither. LOL, but thank you, though. LOL, you're brave, LOL. Eat lots of comfort food. Then, a map to the hospital. Going to be here for a while. Actually been here since yesterday morning. That was October 3rd. Sending you healing hugs. How are your parents? They're doing all right. They have it too. My mom got a little sick, but my dad feels fine. Yes, I read that on your last post about it. I'm glad they're okay. Are they vaccinated? Yes, they are. Thank you. Any update on so-and-so? I am her aunt. She's intubated. I'm her aunt. She is intubated at this time. Please pray, Vig. She's a fighter. Oh, no. Praying for her. Thank you for the update. Sending you all love and prayers. Thank you. Woke up to a message that one of my good friends passed away from COVID. Please keep her family and friends in your prayers. R.I.P. Give my hubby hugs, please. I love you both so much. When they say that this is a pandemic of the unvaccinated, they're not kidding. This woman started posting anti-vax posts around the middle of August, and she had gotten her award by this morning. And because she wouldn't get a vaccine, she left behind a teenage daughter and her surviving vaccinated parents, who are now going to have to try to fill the role of parents because their daughter wouldn't simply get the vaccine. And it is. Oh, I know. God bless you, Brother Deacon Asa. HIV? Are these maggots planning to fuck the bus boy? What the fuck? That one's been around and around and around and around. And, ugh, so,
So ugly. Just so damned ugly.
And you don't have to look at all far. It's just that particular Reddit is a clearinghouse for stupidity. It is, I
encourage everybody at the end of the program to take all of those precautions that Paul from Parts Unknown mentions. Because it's deadly serious. Especially in the stupid states. It gives me no joy to talk about the unvaccinated dangers. And the dangers the unvaccinated pose not just to them, not just to everybody else, but to themselves. MAGA is a fucking suicide cult. A suicide cult. There's no counter argument. And it's not getting any. And here's a new maggot. We haven't heard of this one much before. Maybe you have. I haven't. Representative Claudia Tenney, a maggot from New York. Apparently, she represents a district somewhere near or encompassing Syracuse. She is apparently I don't know. I'm guessing she's Roman Catholic. But she's that classic American version of Roman Catholicism. She's a cafeteria Catholic. She chooses the Catholicism she likes and rejects the Catholicism that she doesn't. And so last week, there was a report that Nancy Pelosi herself, a devout Roman Catholic, actually met with Pope Frank. No, she's not Roman Catholic. What she did is she tweeted, because these maggots always have something stupid to say, and they run right to Twitter to do it. Claudia Tenney, after Pope Frank had met with Speaker Pelosi on Saturday at the Vatican, she's from a place called New Hartford, New York. She tweeted of a picture of Pope Frank shaking hands with Nancy Pelosi in a private audience at the Vatican, and she quote tweeted it and said, "Just two communists." And somebody else called her out for her anti-Catholic bigotry, and she said, "LOL, I love Pope John Paul II, a kind and truly holy person. He didn't slap the hands of followers."
What? Yeah.
So, we've got a new maggot to keep an eye on. And we will. Claudia Tenney, remember her? She's a big time maggot. She defended Nitwit Nero when he went after Democrats who didn't stand and cheer for him. But of course, we have to remember that She's going to have to work hard to catch up with other maggots, like, you know, Marjorie Traitor Gangrene Q-Ball. We're back to Columbus Day again. Sorry. Oh, she wanted to wish everybody a happy Columbus Day. And, okay, so Columbus in Ohio is C-O-L-U-M-B-U-S, right? And Ron and Raleigh pointed out earlier that there's no real knowledge, there's no real certainty as to the naming convention. Cristoforo Colombo. But Columbus, whether it be in Georgia or Ohio or Mississippi, is C-O-L-U-M-B-U-S. On the other hand, the country in South America is Colombia, and it's C-O-L-O-M-B-I-A, as in Colombian gold or Colombian marching powder, Colombian flake. Curiously enough, when Marjorie Traitor Gangrene Q-Ball wished everybody a happy hashtag Columbus Day, she spelled it C-O-L-O-M-B-U-S. Columbus Day. Now, why would she do that? I mean, when you listen to her talk, it's not that hard to imagine her, you know, consuming the better part of a 6-foot rail of Colombian flake, maybe down to the last centimeter or so, and kind of picking that up with her little finger and rubbing it on her little vermin gums. But the internet caught her, because the internet is forever. Happy Columbus Day. And of course, she was just trying to get on the grift train of, they're canceling Columbus Day! Trying to get that sweet, sweet call to show up at the studios of Fox News TV Radio Rwanda so she could talk about all that Columbus Day cancellation bullshit. Yeah. Claudia Tenney's got a long way to go. Hell, she hadn't even shot one Prius yet. Oh, but Nitwit Nero, I think he's got a new crush. I know, gross, huh? No, he, this weekend, there was a report, over on Instagram. Lauren Bobblehead Boobert, Clanny Oakley, bragged that she got a surprise mailing. A surprise, I guess a parcel, a package. If anybody else in the world did this, any sane woman would go, gross, call the police. But Nitwit Nero had two pictures of Lauren Bobblehead Boobert, and they're not even pictures of her star-fucking him, okay? They're not pictures of them together. They're just two pictures of Lauren Bobblehead Boobert wearing her maggot hat, you know, her red maggot hat. And Nitwit Nero had these photos printed, and then he got out his Nitwit Nero Sharpie and scrawled,
looking great,
on one of the pictures, and made his little bunch of Klansmen scrawl signature on it. And so Lauren Bobblehead Boobert
actually reposted them on Instagram and was proud of it.
I unexpectedly received these pictures printed on copy paper at my home.
Really? You won't even spring for the slick shit and the good ink?
I unexpectedly received these pictures printed on copy paper at my home. The authenticity and spontaneity of these rushed prints had me laughing and feeling so loved. Thanks, President Trump. Hashtag Save America.
I'm sorry. That's gross. If I found out, and granted, it's not going to happen, but if I found out that Joe Biden or someone in his office had printed off of one of my pictures from Instagram and signed it and sent it back to me,
looking great,
I would have the full body creeper shivers for a month of fucking Sundays. Grr. Yuck. Oh my God. But, you know, it's a cult. It's a cult. Oh, and just to loop back around to the hijinks at the beginning of the program, and I said I had some questions as to whether the great, you know, eventually everything turns into what's the saying? Everything has been predicted by the Simpsons. Well, when we were talking earlier about the memory card with the top secret secrets on it that was purloined, love that word, that was purloined in a peanut butter sandwich, I really was born to be a shameless copy editor. Oh, wait. Okay, that's a winner. Cowbell for Brother Deacon Asa. Back to the Lauren Bobblehead Boobert photos. Did he also write...
You remind me of Ivanka.
On those Lauren Boobert pics, I'm asking for a friend. Yeah, because you'd never want to know that, would you, Asa? Of course you wouldn't. No, but when we were talking about the memory stick purloined in a peanut butter sandwich, it reminded me that, well, there's a Jimmy Buffett song that's been fulfilled. A Jimmy Buffett song title from eons back, by the way. Like the 70s. The peanut butter conspiracy. Who's going to steal the peanut butter? I'll get a can of sardines. Running up and down the aisles of the mini mart, sticking food in our jeans. Well, you'll forgive me if I'm a little bit skeptical about that. Half a peanut butter sandwich. You know what's worse than finding a worm in your apple? Finding half a worm. Never mind. But lo and behold, over in Newark, Delaware, the FBI raided the home of Aaron Wallen Wolkind. And they snatched up his computer, his phone, some other electronics, the FBI did, because they were looking for evidence of the planning stages of the January 6th insurrection and attack on constitutional governance of the United States. And it just so happens that Aaron Wallen Wolkind is the vice president of the Philadelphia chapter of the Proud Boys. Well, at least they're doing something. The search warrant filing said
The search warrant permitted agents to seize records and information related to people who collaborated, conspired, or assisted, or communicated about matters, including their whereabouts, during the attack on the Capitol on January 6th, or the legitimacy of the 2020 presidential election. The list says they can collect clothing items that associated Walkind with the Proud Boys. Yeah. Well, maybe. Maybe they'll do something about it. I remain hopefully skeptical. Because there's another little thing, and Nitwit Nero referenced it in his little bullshit screed that I shared with you a moment ago.
The bombshell report.
Remember about the right, yeah. So, our pal Flavio hipped me to this. A whistleblower sent a letter. Apparently, it's a 16-page affair because we always have to give how many pages now because depending on how many pages there are. Tells us whether or not any Republicans will read it. If it's more than a paragraph, you can fucking forget it. Unless it's about Hunter Biden! Right? Yeah. Well, the whistleblower claims that the most senior officials of the Capitol Police sat on their hands while the insurrection was taking place. And went on to criticize members of Congress. But, the thing is, it went to House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer, Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell, the House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy, One of the bigger takeaways from the Politico article about it says that there was a key intelligence report that was lied about to Congress back in late December, and the report had information in it about a blog called TheDonald.win with a map of the Capitol campus, and on that site people were calling for people to carry guns and confront members of Congress. And the letter also references the fact that video, and we discussed this early in the day, like right after January 6th, the video seems to show some Capitol Police members removing barricades to allow the insurrectionists easy access to the Capitol. And the whistleblower also says that information regarding actual members of Congress who aided and abetted in the planning of it are not being pursued. And of course, we've speculated, wondered about all of that all along. But this is kind of evidence that Nitwit Nero, I mean, we've known he was slipping all along, is slipping further and faster. He's calling attention to a report that calls attention to actions his people took, his followers took, to actively try to overturn constitutional governance in the United States. I mean, it's like O.J. Simpson waving a .32 jersey and a bloody glove out the window of the white Bronco. Over here, if I did it! Lee in New York says, it was not the love of Boebert that the orangutan was expressing. It is self-love. He thinks of himself with every MAGA cap that he sees.
Oh, it was the cap that was looking good. Oh, okay.
Of course. That makes perfect sense. Thank you, Lee.
Well, I actually thought about it, Randy Radar.
What? No, just one more thing jokes with Columbo?
Yeah, just one more thing. But I'd already done a Peter Falk bit at the beginning of the program. I don't want to oversaturate it, right?
Ooh, that looks fun, Robert in Australia.
I got that at one point. I need to get that back on my phone. Sky at Night app for your phone. I have one on my iPod called Skyview.
You line it up with north and the horizon, and then hold it up to the night sky, and as you move it around, it identifies all the stars and planets.
Cool. Thanks for reminding me that.
Jeremy reminds us, subject line 6K, we are 6,000 deaths away from... I'm losing you there. There's a misprint in there, but we're getting perilously close to 800,000 Americans dead.
And, you know, the maggots are a pain in the ass. But you don't wish death on them. You don't know. Oh. Or at least I don't. It's tragic.
And I can hardly stand to watch college football as much as I enjoy it.
I did. I tuned into the Mountaineer game this past Saturday. We're now 2-4.
And being bowl eligible seems to be slipping even more and further and faster, again, out of sight, out of reach. Baylor did a number on us down there at Jesus University and Jesus' own football stadium on the banks of the lukewarm Brazos River. Crimson Tide went down. Damn it. But it's hard for me to watch it anymore because invariably, the camera team does what the camera team does in a college football game, and they put their cameras on the happy participants in the joyful enterprise that is college football, the cheering fans, the pomp, the pageantry, the colors, the pom-poms, right? And the stadiums are packed to capacity. And as far as I know, nobody is talking about what happens to COVID spread after these massive super spreader events. Granted, they're outdoors, but people are packed in like sardines. I happened to glance at the TV when, lo and behold, undefeated Michigan was playing at Nebraska. And I was reminded of a friend of mine who once lived there who said, yeah, I went to a game there, but I was afraid somebody was going to start smoking because all they had to do was light one match and the whole stadium would go up in flames from all the red polyester. Mountaineer fan. A little snarky. But that stadium in Lincoln, Nebraska was full to busting. The stadium for the OU Texas game was full to busting. And there is no way, one, that everybody in the stands is vaccinated, because these are not the kind of states that enforce vaccine mandates because freedom. Freedom's just another word for nothing left to lose except your life. And two, you can't sit smushed in side by side, shoulder to shoulder in a modern college football stadium without breathing on people, especially when you're screaming for the home team at the top of your lungs. Oh! And yet, zero data on what college football games do
in terms of spreading the virus. Zip. Because, of course, a lot of this, and I don't, quit that. I am not going to the Alex Jones side of the street. But a lot of the research comes out of university science departments. Remember when Joe Paterno said, yeah, back before we knew he was turning a blind eye to rape. Remember when Joe Paterno said, let me know when 50,000 people show up to watch a chemistry exam by way of justifying the bloated athletics budget at the Penn State University? Yeah. So, no, you know, no tracking, no nothing. But how is it? I mean, really, I think this is a legitimate question. How is it that we can track a bunch of maggots who can squeeze a soup meal out of their beards at Sturgis, South Dakota, and we're not tracking what's going on at Bryant Denny or Jordan Hare or Neyland Stadium or the Big Horseshoe or Michigan Stadium or any of that? How is it we're not doing that? I don't have anything remotely approaching a good answer. And so as we near the end point of this program this evening, Jeremy is over on the stress line. Hey, Jeremy.
I thought I'd clear up my email, since I know what it said, but you couldn't transcribe it. What I was trying to say was we're 6,000 away from the first 20,000 and notched towards 800,000. That came pretty quickly, another 2 weeks. Yes, the numbers are going down, but we're still rapidly climbing. Now, that's the granted, that's the official number. I mean, I think I heard yesterday that worldwide it's somewhere like 4.5 million have died.
Worldwide.
It's high time for the people who sit. Yeah, no, 4.5 million, I think, worldwide. And it's high time for the people who said when it hits 5 million, it's considered a problem to start fucking speaking up.
Well, won't they? I mean,
but they never will.
But where the maggots are concerned, Jeremy, won't they just move the goalposts? Well, I mean, okay, so, but no, we was wrong about 5. We need 10.
It's true, and I also heard of another post that someone saw the other day that said, please, please stop telling these morons to stop taking ivermectin and bleach and everything. Let them keep doing it. Let them go away.
I know.
I know it's mean to think that way, but I'm at the point where I have zero fucks left to give. If you want to take your own life or be a moron, like my friend I mentioned was a couple months ago, I guess that's what it was going to be. We can't change their minds. They will go to the grave screaming it's fake, or as someone who I used to enjoy, Dave Chappelle said one of his skits one time, man, I fucked up. But Dave Chappelle fucked up, and what he did. As I have gotten older and dealt with who I am and the things I suffer, and by the way, happy coming out day, I'm glad to know that in many ways you're free from some of the general anxiety disorder and the dysphoria of gender dysphoria. I understand that 100%. So I'm happy for you for that. But that being said, what Dave has done has drawn a line in the sand for me. I will no longer watch any of his specials or look forward to his stuff. His old stuff I will have a hard time watching now. Some of it I thought was comedic genius. But him coming out as dark as he did and the things he said, I still won't watch the special because of what you said, because I do not want to see it. It won't make me that mad. Because there's no reason for that in today's society. And especially to make a joke to say that his people are being minoritized by our group of people being more recognized and treated well is disgusting. We're, if anything, he should be an ally to us. Because as one rises, we all rise.
Yeah, but he can't.
But as one falls, we all fall.
Jeremy, he can't see that. He is trapped in the binary.
He's trying to put his millions.
Well, that too. You know, it's hard to get a man to understand something when his paycheck depends on him not understanding it. There's that. But he's trapped in the binary, and you know, I recognize the space that I occupy, and yeah, granted, I guess he hates my guts, but the people he's really shitting on are the trans women in particular. You know, you'll notice he didn't say a goddamn word about trans men. It's never about trans men. It's always about trans women, and that's not me trying to divide the community. I love my trans brothers dearly.
No, this goes back to the, and this is one of the more disgusting and things that people don't understand. This goes back to the whole, hey, she's hot. Oh my God, she's a guy. I must be gay fear. That's what it is.
Sure it is.
And
sure
I can assure you, there are some trans women out there that are drop-dead gorgeous.
Oh.
I could name them off. You would never know unless you looked them up to see who they were. You would never fucking know. But once people know, they get all icky, like, ooh, this must make me gay. And then they fall back on their religion or what they've been taught. And it's bad, 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 and you're an evil person. That's
right.
Part of the evil of this.
Right, exactly. But and what I was getting at in terms is that I can't stand to watch it, but I have seen a transcript. And that was bad enough. But he seems to think there are no black trans women. He just erased them.
I know.
But he just erased them. And they bear a greater brunt of the harm that the larger trans community endures than any other subgroup of transness. And that's what just blows my mind. Don't you dare sit there and talk about and talk about it. Well, shut up. I'm the wrong person to say. But oh my God, how can you do that?
Any given day in this world, you can Google trans person murdered, trans woman married, murdered. I'm sorry, no, Floydian slip there. And 9 times out of 10, it'll be someone of darker skin color, be they black or be they not pearly white.
Right. Yeah. I mean,
early white trans women are safer than anyone of different skin color. Again, racism, double hate.
Yes. And so it makes, you know, basically what I said the other night, I stand by it. He is a tool of the patriarchy. And the patriarchy is worked up about trans women generally and does not, and to the extent, you know, And the broader I see him as a conservative, and the broader the broader conservative element hates us all, but doesn't see black trans women or Latinx trans women.
This kind of goes back to a conversation I had with a friend a while back. And they know who I am. I've told them in the past and explained in fully who I am. And this last year during one of the court cases about kids telling their parents who they are, basically. Trans boys or girls. And he looked at me in the face and said, you know, kids can't tell you who they are until they're 18. And I looked at him and I said, are you fucking kidding me?
Bullshit.
He said, what do you mean? I said, who am I? What have I told you? What have I told you? I mean, all the experience I've told you about as a kid and all this stuff I've known for years and because of certain, you know, rules and whatever in this world, I've been told, no, that's naughty, naughty or whatever. And for years, I knew long ago, probably I didn't know what it was when I was a teenager because it wasn't as talked about. But there's been something there since I was, you know, maybe 13 or 14. Couldn't explain it. Something always a little different. But I knew long before I was an adult what it was. It wasn't until I was 25 that I really walked in on what it was and accepted it completely and said, well, this is what it is. And I'm not going to be ashamed of it if someone knows what I want to know. But it took my breath away. And he kept saying, well, your kids don't know this. Adults know best. I said, the fuck they do. I said, adults unknowingly, and maybe in some cases knowingly because of their belief system, do more damage than just going along with the kid and saying, okay, you are who you are. We'll support you no matter what. You're my kid.
Right.
And this isn't to say that my parents wouldn't have supported me. They would have. I know they would have. It would have been hard for them at the times, which is sounds better off than probably the situation you were in for a lot of this. But it still would have been hard, and they wouldn't have completely understood. But probably wouldn't have shunned me. But I was enough of a person that liked to see my mom happy that I never pushed the issue or never made it really come face-to-face with her until I was old enough to be an adult and say, guess what? Y'all were wrong, but there's no anger there because it was kind of self-done because I didn't want any conflict.
Precisely. A lot of it is conflict avoidance. A lot of the, staying in the closet instead of coming out, living with the anguish, living with the anxiety, living with the horror, living with the fear, has to do not with the inability to live in the world, but the inability to deal with how the world lives with us.
And I've been invited to a couple of Halloween parties here and over the years, and I was like, you better come, you know, dressed. And I always laughed at myself because every day's fucking Halloween. Every day. For me, anyway.
Yeah.
But that's not from a place of anger, just something for the world, the greater Horn group, and maybe other people listening to hear that.
I think you're right. And so many uncracked eggs and so many people still in the closet live for Halloween because it's the one gimme, it's the free space on the bingo on the gender bingo card. You can go to a Halloween party dressed however you want, and you know what, it's cool.
Well, you might get some weird looks like, wow, they're really good at that. They might, unless you really tell them, they don't know. But they might ask you why. Just for some doing, might crack jokes about it, not knowing the truth. But it is the one day of the year where you can basically do whatever you want within reason, and nobody questions it or says, you're going to burn in hell or some crazy stuff like that.
Exactly.
Or maybe tries to murder you because they were attracted to you, and their own self-conscious makes them so angry at themselves and so hateful at themselves they have to eliminate you instead of the issues with themselves.
And it would just be so easy to just leave people alone and let people live their own lives.
And I am no saint here. In the past, I have made some of those same mean jokes. I was one of those people in the past. I hate to say it, but I'm trying to find a better self in myself the last 10, 15 years. But I was one of those people. And the reason I did it was to hide. Because behind those jokes, people looked at someone else. Or the attention wasn't on you. I have really made a point of curbing that stuff in my adult life. Really, really how much damage it actually does when you're part of that community.
No disagreement at all, Jeremy. None. So,
but like I said, I see you're 3 minutes from done, so happy coming out day, and I'll let you go at peace.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Jeremy. Thank you so very much. And to everybody out there, I'm sure you wish, as I do, a happy coming out day. And one of the most hopeful parts of coming out, National Coming Out Day, is that, it doesn't mean you have to come out on this day. It's just a reminder that there is a welcoming community out there who will love you and value you and cherish you for who you are when that moment finally comes.
And I guess one more quick thing to the wider listening group. You may not think you know someone who's in this category, but I assure you, you do. And
yes.
It's probably many more than you know for the sake of fear.
Right. And I'm not going to give anybody up or anything, but There's more than a couple of people who have reached out to me privately and said, I'm starting to live my authentic life because I saw you living yours. If you can, I can. And of course, there were oodles of people in front of me that I looked at and said, if they can, I can.
And like I said, when you told the world who you really were earlier, I guess the start of this year, I've told people time and time again, I was the least surprised, I think, of anyone that heard it. Because for years now, when I've called in about these issues, I could hear the same tone in the back of your voice be it the old you or the new you, the same seething, the same anger, the same, why is the world this way? So when it all came full circle, I was not shocked. I was like, well, goddamn, that explains a lot of it right there.
Yeah, and there were a couple of people who looked at me and said, one of whom said, it's about time, Dad. Yes.
Well, at least I don't have a cousin open door to hear it. That's funny. But like I said, I was probably one of the least happy for you. Not the least happy, but least
surprised,
shocked by it.
Yeah.
And surprised, because when you're one of these part of these communities, you kind of earn a sixth sense, shall we say. You can fill people out, and you know things because you can feel those same rage points and feel the other people feel them too. So I got a long time ago, but like I said, happy coming in, Dan. Have a good night.
Okay, Jeremy, you got a note from Jude. She said, beautifully authentic, Jeremy. Thank you. Jude is our, I think Jude has become our spiritual guide here in the community. Jeremy, have a great evening, my friend.
You too, thank you.
Bye now. Jeremy calling from Vermont. Jude is just so sweet. Thanks for keeping the Horns community fire burning today, Robin, and almost singly voiced from you. Thank you, Jude. Thank you. And so, wow, where did 3 hours go? I'm always amazed. Thanks, everybody, for jumping in. Thanks to Christopher and John, or Don, sorry, Don. Thank you to Christopher and Don for jumping in on the fundraising. Thank you so much. We will be at 11:40 tomorrow, and we'll just keep chipping away and cross our fingers on the bills and shit like that. And I'll keep y'all posted on what happens relative to moving from grief zone into war zone. It's not war. It's just not gonna sit down and die. Not gonna sit down and just take it. You've got to push back against, you know, these little bastards had a contract with me and got to make them honor it. So, thanks. Thanks to each and every one of you, Patreon and PayPal subscribers. Thank you. Thank you to our a la carte contributors like Christopher and Don this evening. Thank you. Thanks to each and every one of you who shares your precious finite time engaging in this little program in whatever manner you so choose. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you to Steve and Sparky. Thank you so much. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, HeadOn.live. Brand new fresh Malloy on the way, 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. Best place to listen to the first run of Malloy is, of course, HeadOn.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, White Rose Society.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia, and now a union shop, proudly. Please, and always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Please get your booster. If you have a few little weird side effects, don't freak out. You'll be okay. In the meantime, wash your hands, don't touch your face, use your hand sanitizer liberally everywhere you go, carry it with you, pocket purse, European-style messenger bag, backpack, don't care, carry it with you. Wear gloves if you're in a particularly seedy place like, say, Walmart or any big venue. Wear your mask, maintain your social distance. And, of course, if somebody comes towards you saying, you know what, it was just great. He ran some pictures. He printed them on his printer, and he signed them, and it was a rush print job. Avoid that person like the plague, because she is. Later.